Holy Spirit, in this place right now, we want to pause and we want to acknowledge your work in our lives, that you have brought new life to us. I pray that in these next few moments that I have the privilege to share, that you'd help me to speak only what you want to be said, and would you help us all to receive the life-giving truth that comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you're aware of this. If you've been in Harbour Church for a while, you will, because I've said it a few times on Mothering Sunday. But actually, as brilliant as Mother's Day is, and it's been so good to hear what we have this morning about acknowledging motherhood, which of course spans to womanhood, and that is just fantastic. On Monday, it was International Women's Day, and I'm a champion of just saying, come on, let's cheer one another on, let's speak well of one another, let's honour one another. But actually, the roots of Mothering Sunday actually weren't about our families. They weren't about us just celebrating motherhood. They actually had a much bigger picture. And almost today, I want to sort of zoom out, as it were, and get us just to see the bigger picture, the roots of Mothering Sunday, which were simply this, that once a year, people would travel back to their mother church. And they would do that because they wanted to go and honour and give thanks for the place where actually their spiritual birth was. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture of community. What a beautiful picture of the family of God, of love, of honour, of respect. All of those things that I'm so passionate about, and you should be passionate about too. And so today, on this Mother's Day, I applaud any act of thankfulness, of respect, of honour. I applaud all of that. But I want us today just to enlarge the picture and to know that we're not just simply talking about the family, the earthly family that we are a part of, or whatever that may look like for you. But actually, the bigger picture is that today we honour the place of our spiritual birth. For me personally, I love this image. I love this picture. I love this picture of being able to today pause and give thanks to God for the people that have impacted my life. And I want us just to do that right now. Again, I appreciate that this morning there's been so many brilliant thoughts around that. But I want you just right now to pause. You may want to give thanks for your mother. But actually, I want to suggest that we enlarge the picture. I want to suggest that right now we go, God, where was my mother church? Actually, where was the place that first I encountered God? Where first I experienced his love? And I want us to pause right now. For me, that's my church in Tunbridge Wells. And right now, I'm going to pause and I'm going to give thanks for that church. I'm going to give thanks for the teaching that I had there. I'm going to give thanks for the people that invested in my life. As I gave this a little bit of thought yesterday, two beautiful ladies came to mind. Ladies that always sat on the front row of our church. Always cheered me on from the youngest age. They couldn't do much physically, but boy, did they pray for me. Boy, did they impact my life because of the way they lived. So today, I'm giving thanks to God for them because they're my spiritual heritage. Should we just be quiet for a moment? Why don't you give thanks for your mother church? Because that's what Mothering Sunday is actually all about. Amen. And I want to encourage you. Mary Jane preached on this recently about us being encouragers. So probably one of the best things you could do today is send a message, send a text to somebody that maybe was part of your childhood or maybe just in recent years, but they have impacted you spiritually. They have been spiritual parents to you. And today you just want to go, I acknowledge that. I thank you for what you carried for me. I thank you for the impact that you've had on my life. But here's the challenge as well for us. You know, it's one thing for me to go, God, thank you for the people that have impacted me. But the challenge is always, as I honour others? Actually, who is it that I'm impacting? And so today on this Mothering Sunday, what a picture for us. Isn't that church? That actually Jesus said, you know, freely you've received, freely give. That church is this community where we're impacted by others, but we then impact others. The other little throwaway there, if you happen to be, you know, giving up chocolate for Lent, or if there's something that you're doing, apparently on Mother's Day there's a rest day in that. So I'll just leave that with you. Just leave that with you. If you want to eat the biscuits today, apparently you can. I might be wrong. Maybe somebody will text in and go, you're wrong, Sarah, you're wrong. But I think, I'm looking around to those that might know more about church heritage than I do, but I think Mother's Day was a day to have some cake and to ease up. So there you go. You can do that as well. Come on, if you've got a Bible, turn to John chapter 3. I'm not going to read it all, but I want to, in the time I have left, talk about this amazing conversation that Jesus has with a man called Nicodemus. And most of us know John chapter 3 well because we know verse 16 well. Come on, why don't you say it with me if you're at home, if you're in the room? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That was part of the conversation that Jesus has with Nicodemus. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and Nicodemus is a religious man, and he comes and he is sensing that there is something about Jesus that he wants to press into. Isn't that all of our stories, that we sense there's something about Jesus and we go, I want that. And Nicodemus comes with questions, and Jesus says this to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus responds, as probably you would respond or I would respond, with this very natural question. Well, how is that possible? Like, I'm an old man. Do you expect me to get back inside my mother's womb to be reborn? I mean, that's quite a graphic picture. You might not want to think about that for too long. But that's what Nicodemus says. Are you asking me to re-enter my mother's womb, to be born again? And Jesus says, Nicodemus, he doesn't actually say these words, but this is the sense, because I think Jesus says this a lot. Again, he says, you're only seeing from a human perspective. Isn't that what we do all the time? Nicodemus is only seeing it from the human perspective. And Jesus says, no, it's not about that. I'm not talking about a birth that comes from human passion and plan. I'm not talking about human birth. I'm talking about spiritual birth. And Jesus goes on to have this wonderful conversation with him where he explains about the gift of God that enables us to be born again, to be born again. We are literally, when we are followers of Jesus, we are literally born anew, brand new. We start afresh. We are born into the family of God. Divine life is planted within us. Our senses are awakened to God and his kingdom. Our mind is renewed and our heart is changed. We are literally made new. And Nicodemus asks this second question. He says, but how? How, Jesus, how am I born again? And then so many times, Jesus says this word. You just need to believe, Nicodemus. You just need to believe. Believe in me. Believe in Jesus. John chapter 1, we read this verse, and I'm going to read it to you. It says this in John chapter 1. It says this, but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Here's the amazing thing. When we're born again by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit within us, and I'm going to say this quite a lot this morning, you can't create it. It's a miraculous work of God in your life, but oh boy, you know when it's happened. God changes you, transforms you, there is new birth, and here's the thing, your whole identity is found in him. It's not found in your family line. It's not found in the job you do. It's not found in any credentials you may have. It's simply found in him, your whole identity. You carry the DNA of God. You are rooted in God's love for you. You know, Paul, in a letter that he wrote to the Galatians, in fact, this whole letter, if you read the book of Galatians, it is literally Paul struggling. You can hear the passion in his heart as he is desperately trying to get these new believers to understand that they don't have to earn their salvation, that actually their inheritance, their identity in God is not based on what they do. Their right to be children of God is not about what they do. It's all about what Jesus has done. Come on, somebody in the room needs to just give me a yes to this. It's all about what Jesus has done. And Paul writes this whole letter and he's urging them. In fact, at one point he gets really passionate and he says, you're so foolish that you've even gone back to thinking that it's based on you. It's nothing to do with you. The debate that Paul is up against is it the law? Is it by following the law that I get to encounter God and to know the kingdom of God? Or is it by grace? And Paul says it's all by grace. It's a gift. You can't do this of yourself. And to illustrate this, Paul talks about two mums. A couple of weeks ago, Mary Jane spoke about this, so I don't want to say too much. You'd do well to go and listen to her message. But she spoke about Abraham and Sarah and the promise that God gave to them. From your descendant, you will have a child, and that from that descendant will be the nation, my people. God gave them a promise, but here was the thing. It was impossible for them to fulfill that promise on their own. Utterly impossible. And can I tell you today, it is utterly impossible for you to fulfill the work of God in your life. Only God can do it. Only God can do it. It's a work of grace. It's a supernatural work in your life. And so Paul describes these two women. He says there's Sarah. But if you remember the story, as Mary Jane told it, because they began to doubt the promise of God, because they began to get a little bit impatient, and actually their logical minds, their human understanding, said, this is not possible. Or how many times have we said that towards the things of God? They came up with their own plan. And the plan was, well, Abraham, if you sleep with the slave girl Hagar, then Hagar will have a baby, and that's how God will do it. How foolish of them. Just like Paul said to these new Christians in Galatia, how foolish of you. How foolish of Abraham and Sarah that they would think that they could come up with their own plan. But isn't that what you and I do all the time? Isn't that the way that we're wired? I'll come up with my own plan. I'll come up with my own solution. I'll work hard to earn the favor of God on my life. And Paul says, there's these two women. One is a slave. We've sung it in this song, a slave to fear. One is a slave, but the other woman is free. And he says, we are children of the free woman. In other words, he's saying, you are not born because of the law. You're not born again into slavery. Your salvation, your inheritance as a child of God is not attached to the law, but rather you are a product. You are born again as a result of grace, as a result of the promise. You see, when I look at Hagar, Hagar represents when we try and do it on our own. Hagar represents self-achievement. Hagar represents that the whole story there of Abraham with Hagar, it's all about, I'll do it on my own. I'll give you a help, God, just in case you can't quite do it yourself. Whereas when I look at Sarah, she couldn't even do it on her own. She was beyond the age of having a child. It was impossible. What happened for Sarah in having Isaac was completely miraculous. And I want to tell you this morning that God wants to take us from the natural realm that we live in and lift us into the realm of the supernatural, lift us into the realm of the miraculous, where we are living every day according to the kingdom of God, like Dave was just saying, where the walls of independence and the walls of self-reliance, the walls that we build up that say, I'll take care of it myself, are smashed down so that the Holy Spirit can flow freely through our lives. Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's the only way you can see the kingdom of God. You can't work this out for yourself. The only way is total reliance on me. As I begin to draw this message to a close, you know, I was thinking that we if you've been in church a long time, you know the gospel message, you will know it's repent and believe, repent and believe. And too often I think we associate repentance with terrible sins that we've done. God, I repent of all those terrible sins I've done. Do you know, I think the thing we need to repent of most is the thought that actually we can do it on our own. The thing we need to repent of most is our self-reliance. I know that's what I need to repent of the most. The thoughts that come into me, the pride that rises up that says, I can do this, I can do this. It's not actually until we die to that thought, until we let go of our self-reliance, until we recognize that we have nothing, that then we are resurrected to eternal life, that then we understand his life that is at work within us, that then the Holy Spirit begins to flow through us. Salvation is simply this. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus goes on to talk to Nicodemus about what happened to the Israelites. We read it in the book of Numbers where they were being bitten by poisonous snakes and the venom was killing them. And so Moses erected a snake, a bronze snake, and if they looked up to it, they were healed. And here's the message. We need to look up to Jesus. There is no other way by which we can be saved. We need to look up to him. And when we look to him, we are wonderfully born again, miraculously, by the Spirit of God within us. Dave, if you could come and the other musicians, I'd be grateful. I want to tell us today that we're here in this place honoring our natural birth. We're here today honoring that, but there is a birth that is available for all of us, and it's a birth that comes from God. And I don't know about you, but today in this place, I want to honor the Holy Spirit. Do you? I want to pause today on this Mother's Day and recognize the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. The shell that you're looking at right now, that you've come to know as Sarah, this person that you look at, you know me in a certain way, just like I know many of you in a certain way, and we see one another. But whatever understanding you have of me and whatever understanding I have of you, I want you to know that your understanding and my understanding is so flawed and so limited, because you are looking at someone who is born again. And I'm looking through that camera, and I'm imagining many of you in your homes right now. I'm looking at those of you in the room, and I'm seeing that you are born again. And we need to stop looking at each other through our human lens. We need to, by the grace and the help of God, recognize that when we look at one another, we don't see what we see on the natural. This side of eternity, I have my flaws. Ask my family, ask my friends, I have my flaws. But you are looking at someone who is on a daily basis being regenerated by the Holy Spirit, because his life lives within me. You're looking at someone who has been born again by the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. And how? Just by believing, by doing this, by looking up, not looking inwards, not looking around, but looking up. Jesus, I need you. That, my friend, is how you encounter God. Jesus, I need you. I can't do it on my own. Maybe you've never said those words. Maybe you've never prayed that prayer. Right now in this place, you can do that. Jesus, I need you. Do you know what our problem is? It's we think too much. We overthink it all. What does that mean? Would you just trust God with that? I don't know about you, but I didn't overthink the day of my birth. Did you? Like, I didn't overthink it. Like, my mum did, for sure. Mum, if you're watching, thank you. Like, my mum overthought it. My mum went through the pain. Like, she experienced all of that. But me, I was just born. Were you? Come on, somebody in the room, talk to me. You understand what I'm saying? And too often, we overthink it. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Do you know when the Holy Spirit does a work in our lives, it's not for you to overthink. It's just for you to look up and to embrace the life that He has given you. He'll work out the details. He'll take care of you. All you have to do is look up and believe in Him. Receive His salvation. You can't do it of yourself. But you are only going to be born again when you come to the end of yourself and you say yes to Him. All the while you're trying to do it yourself. How do I know? Because I spent 40 years trying to do it myself. 40 years. I'm 46 now. 47 is looming. When I was 40, I encountered the love of God in a way I have never encountered it before. And I remember coming home from a retreat that I'd been at. I walked in the door of our house and I said to Gareth, he was in our kitchen, I said, Gareth, I have just been born again. Seriously, 40 years old. Oh, I loved Jesus. I followed Jesus. I was saved. But there is a moment that comes where you let go of yourself, where you let go of your ability to work it out, and you completely just allow His love to come and cover every part of you, where you let go of your ability to live it, and you just lean on Him. How are we children of God? By the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's a miraculous work. And right now, today, you can know that. I'm so grateful that Grant is on the piano today. Grant, I've been mesmerized by your playing, but that's because as a pianist, I just am. And you've played brilliantly today. Thank you. Grant, the reason I'm just going to conclude with a story about you is because most years on Facebook, Grant, on the 14th of May, I see you put up a post and Grant puts up this. Today is the day that I was born again. He might not use that born again word. Do you know, that's a sad thing. I grew up in a culture that talked about being born again. We don't do that anymore. Come on, we need to start talking about, I'm born again. Come on, sitting at your table, just say to somebody, I'm born again. I'm born again. We had a dear lady in this church. She's in heaven now. But dear Peggy, come on, some of you remember Peggy. And she used to say to people when they came to church, are you born again? Come on, she had it right. Are you born again, my friend? Because you can be. And if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. This is the only way to be born again. And Grant, every year on the 14th of May, says, I'm born again. Do you know why I know that? Because it's my birthday. So on the 14th of May, I'm celebrating my natural birth. I'm celebrating the day that my mother, I won't get graphic, she gave birth to me. I knew nothing about it, but she did. But you know what? Grant, your birthday is more significant than mine. It's more significant. Your spiritual birthday is more significant than your earthly birthday. It's more significant because it's the new life of the Spirit that takes you and lasts into eternity. When were you born again? You see, one day I will die. That's not shock news. It'll happen to all of us. My earthly life is limited. Oh, but my eternal life, when you're born again. So the 14th of May, I celebrate Grant. I celebrate his new birth. I celebrate that he was born again by the Spirit of God. I'll celebrate my birthday with cake, but I'd rather celebrate his new birth. Come on, let's sing this song again, shall we? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I'm a child of God. And in this place, let's celebrate and honor the Holy Spirit, because He is the one that gives us new life. He is the one that gives us new birth. We thank God for our earthly mothers, but there is a mother, the Holy Spirit, the mother heart of God that wants to breathe into us right now. Holy Spirit, I honor you today on this Mother's Day. You are the best mother of all, and you have given us new life. Let's sing this together. I am a child of God.